This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Victoria Woodhull opened the first woman-owned brokerage company in 1870, taking her from rags to riches for the second time in her life. She and her sister advised people like Cornelius Vanderbilt, a well-known railroad and shipping tycoon, gaining so much traction they were dubbed the Queens of Finance. They didn't stop there. Together they started a newspaper, and Woodhull eventually became the first woman to run for president in 1872. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Everybody, welcome to the show. I thought we'd start off with a her story because it is the end of Women's History Month, and Victoria Woodhull was famous for a lot of different things. She really did run for president, like I said, in 1872. She had a lot of quotes that she was pretty famous for, but she was certainly famous for the being part of the suffragette movement, being fearless, again, making a lot of people a lot of money. So she was incredibly, incredibly well liked. She said, "Why is a woman to be treated differently? Women's suffrage will succeed despite this miserable guerrilla opposition." And also said, "I ask the rights to pursue happiness by having a voice in that government to which I am accountable." Wonder what she would think today of finally, no matter how you feel about Republican, Democrat, that just purely on the basis of breaking a barrier, we certainly have seen that Kamala Harris being the VP, that's the first time that we've had a woman that high up in politics. So how about that? Victoria Woodhull. There's actually a movie being made about her, and we'll see when that comes out because of the pandemic. I think some of that got pushed back. When it comes to politics, politics these days center around the pandemic, certainly, and where do we move forward, and will there be vaccine passports, and how soon will we have the herd immunity? Will we get to herd immunity? What economically will happen, as we've seen incredible highs on Wall Street, but incredible lows when it comes to some people who have had the rug ripped out from underneath them, economically speaking, because of career choices and jobs that just quite simply went away and did not come back. One of the things the president is saying is, listen, it might be $2 trillion for this infrastructure plan, but it will get people working, people who need these jobs, doing something that we need desperately. So the first phase of Joe Biden's Build Back Better program, that's what they're calling it, he set that out in a speech in Pittsburgh. He talks about putting infrastructure at the centerpiece of his economic agenda. An injection of $620 billion into transportation, including upgrading 20,000 miles of roads, repairing thousands of bridges, and doubling funding for public transportation. There, that comes into play. He said he's proposing a plan for the nation that rewards work, not just rewards wealth. It builds a fair economy that gives everybody a chance to succeed. It's going to create the strongest, most resilient, innovative economy in the world. It's a once-in-a-generation investment in America, unlike anything we've seen or done since we built the interstate highway system and the space race decades ago. How do you pay for that kind of a price tag after all the money that's been laid out in COVID relief? $2 trillion is this again in the stimulus plan. Now you look at talking about trillions again. The cost would partly be covered by raising corporate tax from 21% to 28%. Something that is not flying with most Republicans, but also some Democrats not happy in trying to push this. Now, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce backed the infrastructure push, but said the proposal was dangerously misguided over how to fund it. The corporate tax, by the way, would leave the rate lower than it was for almost 70 years between World War II and 2017. But because we certainly have seen corporations that have gone overseas, and will there be another push to say, no, we can do it cheaper someplace else? We're not going to take this. It's too crippling. Or is it just ridiculous, and is it more like corporate welfare? I think it's going to be tough to push some of that onto these companies. And it's interesting because Amazon is getting hit right and left in a lot of different directions. And with this infrastructure plan that was unveiled, that corporate tax increase, one of the companies that Biden highlighted was Amazon, saying that Amazon was one of 91 Fortune 500 companies that used various loopholes where they pay not a single penny in federal income tax, in sharp contrast to middle-class families paying over 20% tax rates. And he said, I don't want to punish them, but that's just wrong. He said, that's just wrong. So in response, because you don't think Amazon's not going to respond, they pointed to a tweet on research and development tax credits by Jay Carney, the company's public policy and communications chief and former White House press secretary under former President Barack Obama, and said, if the R&D tax credit is a loophole, it's certainly one Congress strongly intended. The R&D tax credit has existed since 1981 and was extended 15 times with bipartisan support and was made permanent in 2015, which is true, in a law signed by President Obama. So Amazon, after paying nothing in federal taxes for 2 years, started paying federal income tax in 2019. But Amazon is a favorite target of Joe Biden's. In June, he named Amazon and said no company making billions in profits should pay a lower tax rate than firefighters and teachers. So this war on the corporations and taxing has just ratcheted up, I guess, a notch because of this infrastructure plan, $2 trillion infrastructure plan. What's the plan at the border? It's almost insanity when you look at, it's not almost, it is insanity, when you look at these kids on top of each other and more trying to come in. I mean, what's happening at the border with the smugglers and all the traffickers, they know that the push is catastrophic. The Border Patrol said they have more than four dozen countries' nationals coming to the country and are being admitted into the country. And then when they have these kids that aren't accompanied and they're put into these few facilities, they don't have the room for them. They don't have the room for them whatsoever. So they're stuck. They're stuck trying to figure out, okay, where are some other places that we can maneuver to try to squeeze these kids into a better spot where they have more breathing room instead of being on top of each other as they get processed. Coming up next, the mic drop.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Somewhere and just listen to someone tickle the ivories like that. Oh, please, let's get this virus out of here so I can do that again someday. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney once again. Thanks so much for listening. You can always flip me your thoughts 24/7, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We're going to get to a mic drop moment here in a few minutes, but a couple of housekeeping sort of things, or what I think I should pass on to you. You're looking for free deals, free stuff. Everybody wants a deal. Everybody wants something free. That's why sales, wink, wink, are always such a big deal. I guarantee, I've been in some of these meetings. What can you do to bring people in? Not here and not on this, with doing this radio show, but meaning if you work in sales, like what can we get where people really think they're getting such a big bargain. But when it's totally free? They say there's no free lunches, but there is. It is National Burrito Day. Uh-huh. Seriously. So a lot of food chains are giving you free burritos, like Taco Bell. So if you pull up at Taco Bell, maybe you just pay for your soda, you get a free burrito. I know, that is like a mic drop moment. All you need is your water or your soda. They can't deny you. And 7-Eleven has free Slurpee Day. Free Slurpee? Who doesn't want a free Slurpee, right? So you can drop it all over yourself. And IHOP has National Pancake Day. So you do have to join the email club, but you get a free short stack of pancakes. So, you know, you pay for a cup of coffee and you get a bunch of pancakes. I'm just saying. If you're looking for something pretty free, there's some ideas for you. But it really is National Burrito Day. And National Burrito Day means Taco Bell, Chipotle, Del Taco. You really would get that. So, woohoo! That really, honestly, something to celebrate. And meanwhile, the money you save with that whole burrito thing, you could put it toward toilet paper, because toilet paper prices are going to rise. This whole pandemic is about, in some way, toilet paper, isn't it? In the beginning, we couldn't get toilet paper. I had to have a friend drop off industrial rolls of toilet paper, I'm not kidding you, on my front porch because we ran out of toilet paper. I didn't even think when at the beginning of the pandemic. But Cottonelle, Scott brands, they're going to increase their prices, right? And why are they increasing their prices? And the prices are in the mid to high single digits. And it's because they're facing significant inflation on raw materials and lower birth rates and the need to invest in advertising and discounts. What did I say about bringing people in with the discounts? And so what does that mean with the lower birth rates? Because those companies like Kimberly-Clark, diapers and all the things they produce, it's so there's so many less kids being born that they're not having the demand that they used to have. It's been considerably cut. So because of how the raw material's gone up, that's they're passing it on. And remember, in the early going stages of the pandemic, anything paper just disappeared. I mean, you were scrambling to try to get whatever you could. So stores had limits on paper good stuff. Only one per customer, all that kind of thing. And that's not happening everywhere, but it's starting to creep in. So here's just a good warning to you. You might want to pick some up. I'm just saying. You might want to pick some up. Now, if we lived in Europe, they have the thing called the bidet. If you don't know what it is, no toilet paper required. Delta Airlines is not, in fact, worried about toilet paper supplies for their tiny little air closets. Instead, they're celebrating, and they're celebrating the fact that more people are coming back to fly. So they're going to start offering snacks and drinks again to passengers starting on April 14th. Woohoo! That's right. So when you're super parched and you're sitting there, you can get your soda. You can get your tomato juice. You can get your glass of water. You can get your coffee, although that would be kind of a dehydrating effect. I'm certain of that. But the snacks, remember the snacks went away. Peanuts and pretzels and anything else, they weren't doing that. So they've brought the snacks back, or they're bringing the snacks back and the beverages. And then if you want to order food, they got hot food, boxed food, all kinds of food. It's like a flying concession. So, yeah, it's good news. And if you are flying starting on April 14th in between this tiny window before May 1st, you still have the open middle seat. But they're going to start selling those middle seats starting on May 1st. Most airlines already stopped offering middle seats during the pandemic to make it easier to social distance, but they've started selling them again. So they are being sold again. And Delta was the last holdout, but they're going to do the same thing. So there you go, right? That's what happens. That's the way the cookie crumbles, as one would say. All right, on the hard-to-watch list, the Derek Chauvin trial is what the buzz is in the land, besides pandemic and the after effects of the pandemic and what's happening in vaccinations and all the things in between. But this is being streamed. So the Chauvin trial, the update is the jurors got to see body cam videos that we hadn't seen before, and then witnesses to the Floyd arrest, I mean, just crying on the stand, talking about what they saw, and feeling an overwhelming sense of guilt. Like, could they have done anything? Like Charles McMillan, who took off his glasses, wiped the tears from his eyes, and he was saying, oh, my God, after he saw video of Floyd calling for his mother and saying, I can't breathe. In fact, the court took a brief break before he returned to the stand. It was like that emotional. And the videos that were played, there were four police body cam videos prosecutors played for jurors on Wednesday afternoon in that murder trial in the Minneapolis courtroom of the former police officer. And they played the video from the body cams of the officers, the three other officers, as well as Chauvin's video, too. And it showed that he defended his tactics after an ambulance left the scene, saying to a bystander that, hey, Floyd was a sizable guy and probably on something. So over the last 3 days, jurors have heard from 12 witnesses as to what they witnessed, what they saw when Floyd was dying. And several have gotten emotional, cried on the stand, describing their attempts to intervene on his behalf. Witnesses have included a firefighter, a 911 dispatcher, a cashier working across the street, a mixed martial arts fighter, a teenager who recorded the viral video of Floyd's death, and her 9-year-old cousin. And just to reiterate, Chauvin is charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. The three other officers are being tried in August for aiding and abetting Chauvin. So still more to come in that trial, that's for sure. How many people have been vaccinated? Well, 97.6 million. That means 36.5% of the eligible population, 16 and older, and 29.4% of the total population. And, you know, I was talking about air travel and Delta, and a lot of people, I think, well, I've heard people say this, and people have said it to me. Doctors are saying that I think that once people get vaccinated, they think, let's just jump on a flight. The vaccines are certainly big news if you want to travel, but if you're traveling and you want to take a trip, as soon as you get your shot, your second shots, depending on what you get, they're saying you have to wait at least 2 weeks after your last shot. And we've heard that before, but just it's being reemphasized that you want to wait 2 weeks. Some countries and cruise lines are, of course, saying the same thing, telling people to delay their visits. On that note, and with the music playing, coming up next, a conversation with John Ling and then Bitsy Wilmot talking about love letters. When's the last time you wrote a real, actual love letter?
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The U.S. Border Patrol is expecting to encounter more than 1 million migrants in 2021, according to officials. While many are adults who are turned away due to health protections in place for the pandemic, a large number of unaccompanied children continue to overwhelm resources on the border. Congressman Tony Gonzalez says that's why the Biden administration should not do away with Title 42, the policy that allows border agents to block migrant entry on public health grounds. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that if Title 42 were to be lifted, the southern border would be completely overwhelmed.
There are tens of thousands of families on the Mexican side of the border. If this administration does away with Title 42 for families, what we're going to see is tens of thousands of families try to come into the United States overnight. That's what I'm hearing on the ground from Border Patrol agents and professionals.
This is USA Radio News. The Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down Governor Tony Evers' mask mandate on Wednesday, saying that he overstepped his authority when he issued an extension of the order after the state legislature had voted to repeal the original one. Wisconsin joins a number of other states who have pulled back on their public health efforts against COVID-19 in recent weeks, something Dr. Anthony Fauci says will delay our recovery from the virus. The White House's chief medical advisor tells CNN that with accelerating vaccination rates, we just need to hold on a little bit longer to achieve the needed protection against the virus.
Every day that goes by, we get closer and closer to a greater degree of protection. So now is just not the time to pull back and declare premature victory. It's just not the time. Hang in there a bit longer. We're going to get through this. As more people get vaccinated, there's going to be a greater umbrella of protection over society. That's why we're saying over and over again, just hang on, continue to do the public health measures, and then we could pull back later when we get a greater degree of protection from the vaccines.
This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Listen to the show for any length of time or you're brand new, thank you and welcome. I talk about why we don't have more stories about grieving and really talking about a person's life and then what they're going through. And it's something that we all are eventually going to face, death that is. And this next author has really, in my opinion, nailed it. His name is John Ling and he's in Manchester, in England, and he's written a book called Alice the Healer. John, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
So let's talk about your background, because I think it's fascinating, and I think people can appreciate what you did in your life, because there was a couple of things. One thing didn't lead to another, or it did, but how do you go from being a librarian with children to becoming a mediator and dealing with all that conflict?
Well, I wouldn't say it was fascinating, but being a librarian after about 17 years got a bit boring. And I still love children's books, and my kids were brought up with all the latest children's books as we went along. But after a while, I decided I needed to do something else and retrained as a teacher. And one of my sons is deaf, and so I trained to be a teacher of deaf. So I did that for about a decade, and then I got tired of that, and I did another job which was offered me as working with autistic children for another decade. That was the most wacky kind of job I've ever had in my life, because autistic kids don't obey any rules, and they don't fit in too well, and it involved bending all the rules and getting teachers and parents to go along with it to suit their needs, so that was okay. And then In the meantime, I also trained to be a mediator and with neighbours, neighbour-to-neighbour conflicts. And then in the last few years, I've been working with kids' mediation, they're called, and we do conflicts between parents with special needs kids and their local authorities. So that's ongoing, and I still do neighbour-to-neighbour. I also do couples. And all along the way, I've been writing about everybody around me, and one of those people was Alice the Healer, or I called her Alice the Healer because that was the name of the last poem in the book. And she was my friend for about 15 years until she died. And I wasn't intending to write a book about her, but when she did die, I found I'd written about 30 or 40 poems about her extraordinary life, and that's how Alice the Healer came to be published.
I love the fact that you write poems, and you said to me you've written hundreds of poems, and it's really people. It's a collection of people. So Alice was somebody that was definitely central to your life. 15 years having a relationship with Alice, knowing her, and writing 30 or 40 poems. Tell us about Alice.
Well, she loved writing herself, and she was also, she loved painting. And she, the last few years of her working life, she was a social worker for elderly disabled people, ironically, because that's what she became herself. She gradually succumbed to rheumatoid arthritis and Meniere's disease, which means you lose all your hearing over a number of years. And so for about half that period when I knew her, I used to visit her once a week on my way home from work. She was struggling more and more with the pain and the medicines and there is very little treatment that works for people with rheumatoid arthritis and almost nothing for Meniere's disease. But she managed to carve a life out of all that, despite the pain and the difficulty. She was always entertaining. She loved to talk. And what she missed most of all was the company of other people, because as you become wheelchair bound and sort of you kind of disappear from view, you know, your neighbors don't see you so much and you lose all your friends or they die and she becomes very lonely, and so she eventually learns how to use the internet in her late 70s and keeps in touch with the world that way. And so although she talked, bless her, but she couldn't hear too well, so my visits with Alice were largely monologues with me listening and nodding and smiling while she told me what had been going on. She was a lovely lady, but suffered a great deal. And so Alice's suffering for those last 15 years is here we have this book about Alice the Healer. And I called it Alice the Healer because often it would be me. I turn up on a Friday night on my way home, exhausted from a week, hard working week, and she would cheer me up, she'd feed me with lovely cakes, and she'd bring me out of my sort of depression rather than the other way around. So we kind of depended on each other for various reasons, and all of the different ups and downs in her life are recorded in various poems in this book. So, for instance, there was she'd had both knees replaced at one stage, and then they forgot that if you have your knees replaced, you have to learn to walk all over again. But they'd forgotten to schedule in a physiotherapist, so she went for a whole year sitting in a wheelchair, wondering if she'd ever walk again. And then all of a sudden they remembered, and they started to come round and try and teach her to walk again. And so one of the poems is called Small Earthquake in Huddersfield, which is when she was trying to demonstrate to me that she really could get on her feet, and she had a walking frame, and she was trying to show me that, yes, I can walk again. Look, watch me. And that was one of the her look at me sort of walk. You know, she really wanted me to see, hey, you know, I've been stuck in this wheelchair all this time, but they're trying to get me to walk again. Look, I'll show you what I can do. So she does about 8 steps, and I applaud her, and she thinks this is fantastic. But sadly, it didn't last too long because things just got worse and worse.
And boy, how interesting. You know, as you say, you write these poems and you pull them together and you go through these funny moments, which you just took us through. There is something about having that sense of humor. Did she have a sense of humor?
She certainly did. We both did. That's one of my problems, really, my sort of anarchic sense of humor. I have to keep it under control. But it does turn up in some of these poems and all the other things I've written about various people. On the whole, I find people very enjoyable, whether they're good or bad people. They're all interesting material to write about. I keep on going because there's an endless source of material out there.
Boy, no kidding. And Alice the Healer obviously was one of them. When people listening to this conversation in the United States and other parts of the world, and they're intrigued by it and they want to go get your book, which of course you can get on Amazon, what do you hope they take away from reading Alice the Healer?
Well, I think when I read this book occasionally, it moves me to tears sometimes because I relive those experiences with Alice, and I think, well, that was a wonderful time, really. Times it was very painful, but people have said to me, this is a very moving book, and I'm so glad I've got one, you know, I'm glad I read it, and it sort of helps people who are in some kind of similar situation with some kind of disability or illness, and also people who are grieving for the loss of a loved one. And people have said to me that they really enjoyed Alice the Healer because it was a book that gave them courage and, you know, reflected the good side of a person's life, even though they were having a miserable time. Like Alice, you know, she fought and a brave fight, really. And, she succeeded in keeping me going and keeping herself going. And people find this as some kind of encouragement from the book, I think, that it's, I didn't intend it to be helpful to anybody, but that's what they tell me, that it's been a good book to read in the circumstances.
Yeah, and I think it is. That's why I started off saying that about grieving and things that we don't talk about, because you just lay it all out there, and that makes sense that you had written all those poems and had 15 years with Alice. What would Alice say about the book?
I think she'd be astonished, really. I'm half afraid that she might be a bit concerned that I've been writing about her and she didn't know it. Because I felt it wouldn't be right to say, you know, I've written this poem, but would you like to read it? Because it was just something I did in the background. But when I looked at it afterwards, I thought, it's not just going to stay in a cupboard. It needs to be published. Because she was a great lady, really. And she did a number of wonderful things in her life. And in the end, like I said earlier, you get kind of forgotten. You become invisible the more disabled you are. And it's very hard to have a relationship with people in a wheelchair. For instance, you can't even easily have a hug. And, you know, it's a simple thing like that. Either you've got to kneel down or she's got to stand up. And so you lose that physical contact with your own family and with your neighbors and friends as well. And so I wanted to say, look, you know, look at this person in front of you. Whoever disabled they might be, they still have the same needs as anybody else that you know. Yeah, give them a hug. And treat them like an ordinary person. Keep them cheerful. Because it's quite miserable being in pain all the time and not being able to walk.
Yeah, absolutely. Perfect place to end this. Pick up John's book. You will probably cry, you probably will laugh, and all those emotions in between. And that's why it's so, so good. John, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joining us this time around on Author's Corner, Bitsy Wilmot. She's written a book, put together a book called Remnants. And let me just tell you what the back of the book says. And I want you to think about this. When was the last time you wrote or received a love letter? Back of the book, one of the things that she highlights, love letters are a vanishing treasure in this era of electronic expression. Yes. I guarantee a lot of you listening can't even remember the last time you got a love letter. That makes me so sad. And that's what this book is about. It really is about love and memories and this great relationship she had with her husband, John, who, by the way, was a very popular, well-known radio newsman. So, Bitsy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What was it that led you to decide, you know what, let's do this book?
I wrote the book as a memoir for my 4 children so that they knew about our lives that were beside their lives and knew more about their father because he was very special and was gone now. And this will give them always a memory to read.
All right, so it's interesting. You, in his career and things that you did along the way, one of the things that happened, which I can relate to and I think people in the business can relate to, is you moved how many times, Bitsy?
In my life, I have moved 28 times. I moved 26 times as an adult with John.
Wow. So what is that like, packing up a house, especially of kids, when you had kids, and getting it together? I mean, that's a lot of times to move.
Well, that was not the whole goal. My goal was to be behind John and keep the home steady and warm and orderly so that his life was the best.
There you go. And so that was partly, he obviously, you loved him. You were going to talk about the love letters, and he had a career that was pretty demanding. Like I mentioned that he was a radio newsman, right?
Yes, his career was very important, and his hobbies were very important. He had a very complete life without me, so I was very happy when he included me.
I like that. You loved him and you wanted to be included, so that's perfect. The book, as you said, you know, you wanted your children and grandchildren and anybody else to be able to remember and to know and to feel like, okay, these are the things that happened in the life. And one of the things that you talk about is the love letters. How many love letters did you write back and forth?
There were 55 in all written in 8 weeks, but two of them I could not print publicly. They were a little personal.
I like that they're a little personal. And explain the 8 weeks. What happened during the 8 weeks for people who are listening?
I had written John a thank you note after he spoke to a community theater group, and I was having trouble getting any notice from him. And he immediately wrote back on the radio station's letterhead, and that began our writing. And he could not have a date with me, even though our interest was growing immediately, because the radio station was moving to a new station from an office site, and they were going to have glass windows all around so that the town of Vero Beach, Florida, could watch the broadcasters. And so all hands on deck were required to get the inventory ready for the move, and no one could have time off. So we wrote letters, but we continued writing even after we began dating, and it was just special. We were both people with words. I always say that John's world were words.
Yeah, he was an excellent writer, right?
Yes, he was. And he told me very early, because he was always selected for his voice, even when he was in television. He was in 4 radio stations and 3 television stations. But early in his career, they had to rip and read Associated Press, yellow paper, you know, in the radio station. And he said he, because he was a better writer. And he was.
Yeah, there you go. What do you want people to take away from reading the book Remnants?
Love is a possibility, and writing is very good for us to do. It's a different expression from our voices. Thoughts come in writing that we do not necessarily say out loud.
Yeah. Wow, it's so beautiful.
It's another part of the human being.
Yep. And you still write today. I mean, you've been sending me these wonderful poems that you write. So you're always inspired.
I have just written the 800th item since I've begun writing. I started writing 3 years ago after a difficult relationship. And it had helped me come out of a bad time. And I always want to share with others.
Yeah. Well, you definitely do through words, and I think that's clearly the message in your book, Remnants, which you can get on Amazon. Bitsy Wilmot, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Happy spring.
Indeed. Thanks, Bitsy.
Bye.
All right, so once again, Remnants, you can get it on Amazon, as we just talked about there with Bitsy Frank Wilmot. So interesting that they were married for so long, and in those 2 months, she was talking about these old-fashioned, I guess is the best way to say it, love letters, 53 of them in just 2 month time. And this memoir was really written for her family, but it's one that I think extends beyond that. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that they wrote
their romance was so much of that was kindled through the letters. And as she said, and as I mentioned at the very beginning of this, it's such a vanishing treasure in an era where it's all about electronic expression. The way we communicate, I mean, heck, the way people ask people out, they swipe, especially anybody younger. They're swiping right or left. And you're texting back and forth, but there's not these letters. It made me think, when was the last time you got a letter? I mean, an actual, like, love letter. And what's really, really neat is he was a radio newsman. And to me, of course, that was fascinating. And the letterhead that he used was Where the Tropics Begin, 1490 WTTB, Vero Beach, as Bitsy was talking about that. And the letters just go from there. Like, they write the letters back and forth. And in the beginning of one of them, he says, "Bitsy, I guess every good guest thinks his hostess and who I am to be outdone by any post, either Emily or the Saturday Evening or Barber Variety. I just wish that it didn't have to end." And he says, "I made it up here to the boondocks by about 3 minutes past 6 o'clock, just as George was about to call out the militia. Did you hear Paul Harvey and his program sponsored by Beltone Hearing Aids? Did you notice the really logical sounding commercial?" I thought that was so interesting. And so you could tell he was such a funny, funny man. And then at the end, he says, "Did you get back from the lake all right? I hope they didn't encounter our thunderstorm on the way. It rained all the way up here from Fort Pierce. Well, this has taken till almost midnight to finish due to records and station breaks." How neat. I mean, so you get the sense of this radio newsman, like I said, John, and how he's funny. And she said that, and how they're writing, you know, back and forth. And he talks about he's so tired, and he says, "Thanks for a wonderful dinner and afternoon," as he's reminiscing from a past time. "And most of all, thanks for being just you. See you soon." And then he puts in parentheses, I hope. Again, there's like lessons in this. That imagine if instead of all the swiping, I mean, maybe you're swiping to meet somebody, but imagine if somebody took the time to actually do letters, just to pen a letter, or, you know, pound out a letter on the computer and actually mail it. And his letters really, really pull you in. And you can tell what was going on between them on these dates and where they were going next. And, you know, one point he starts off and he says, "Thanks for the cookies," and says, "Isn't there anything you can't do? You're talented as an actress, as a teacher, as a judge of people, as a conversationalist, and now it turns out you've been hiding the fact that you're also a very good cook." He was smart. He knew what he wanted to do, and he wanted to marry Bitsy. You can tell when you look at the letters. Anyway, good stuff. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.